$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dillman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Good day.
And Brian Higgins.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing on this slippery, snowy, crazy evening?
Wondrous.
Wow. That's not the adjective I expected.
I worked a little late, but you know.
You know.
Yep.
There's always time for the movies. You worked late. What did you have for lunch today?
Nothing.
Nothing? You didn't eat?
No.
You starved yourself?
Yeah.
Well,
Was I supposed to?
We knew you were working all day, so Brian and I would like to present you with this giant Subway party sub for you to eat. It's right here in the movie cave.
I don't see it. I would love it.
All right. There is no party sub here. There was a party sub in the movie. We had a full review set up.
Yay!
This past week.
That's what I was looking
for.
The
Disney camp film Heavyweights. Wow.
Mark's transitions.
I like that one.
Schmarking.
You really like shut me down though. I didn't eat anything. It's like, damn it.
I didn't though.
It worked out well. I always make time to eat.
Well,
I'm just like Salami Sam.
Oh,
no. Did you guys have any kind of follow-up thoughts after consuming I see what I did there. This movie this past week.
I do know what you did there.
Anything further kind of pop into mind about the movie itself, the film?
I was talking about it with somebody at work, and I said, this is Dodgeball 12 years prior, 15 years
prior. It's a lot of elements of Dodgeball, yeah.
It's like the same, like the kids got to take over the camp.
Well, now, it's
not so much money-wise.
It's Dodgeball meets Meatballs.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, mistake me
if I'm wrong.
There's lots of balls.
So Ben Stiller had writing credits on Dodgeball, right? Wasn't he one of the writers on that?
I don't know.
Because he had this was the author, the director, Stephen Brill, and Judd Apatow were the two that wrote this. But I do believe that Stiller had writing credits on Dodgeball.
The writer of Dodgeball is Rawson Marshall Thurber.
Okay, so he didn't.
Correct.
Okay, so did Rawson Marshall Thurber rip off elements of Heavyweights? That's
perhaps
the question.
He did. He was also the director of Dodgeball.
Oh, okay. That's a powerful name. Rawson Marshall Thurber.
What else has he done? I want to know.
We're the Millers.
Oh, that's funny.
Central Intelligence.
Oh.
I haven't seen that.
That's Kevin Hart, right?
And The Rock.
Oh, so he's actually got some, they're not like crazy hits, but he's got some mainstream.
Central Intelligence was a pretty big hit.
Oh, he's got some mainstream cred.
So some fun facts about now, Brian, you kind of had a lot of fun facts at the ready during our full reviews it, but
you
are prepared, especially for Disney movies. Some of these we already know from the trivia, but some of them are interesting, to say the least. So the obvious one was that Ben Stiller played the parts of both Tony Perkins and his father, and the Bushkins were played by his actual parents, Jerry Stiller and Ann Mara. We knew that already. And you brought up the fact that Sean Weiss, who played Josh in this, was not interested in acting in the film, but he changed his mind when he found out if he didn't do Heavyweights, he could not be in D3 of the Mighty Ducks.
Which isn't that bad of a punishment.
That's a weird, like, contract, though. I don't know. It just seems weird.
It's like we're contracting you for two movies,
right?
And we're not going to wait for the one after D3. You have to be in Heavyweights.
Yeah. The one that comes before, and then.
Maybe he had a crush on one of the other Mighty Ducks.
Oh, like no, what about
Julie
that?
The Cat Gaffney.
Oh, that's true.
And he was like, I want to be in a movie with her again. And they're like, well, you can't unless you do Heavyweights. And he's oh, man, I don't want to do another movie with Carp.
Brian, this is the modern age. He could have had a crush on Joshua Jackson.
He could have.
In a 2012 PBS telethon, Jerry Stiller and Ann Mara both spoke to the camera side by side, just like in the Camp Hope promotional video. The same music that played in the Camp Hope video played in the background.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So they like reprised their Bushkin characters?
That's fun.
That's cool.
I didn't realize this was such a big hit that they like people would know that.
This is one of my favorite tidbits here. As part of his first date with his eventual wife, Judd Apatow tried to impress Leslie Mann by showing her this film.
I wonder how that went.
Well, they had sex in a canoe that night.
Oh.
There you go.
They're married with like two or three kids.
Two kids. You should know, Rick, they're in all of his movies.
I don't know the kids are in his movies.
You don't? You haven't seen?
They play the kids.
They play
the
kids.
I know Leslie Mann's in all, like, half of them.
Yeah, and so are
half.
The kids.
Oh, I didn't know.
This is 40, knocked up.
Wait, what about Ant-Man? She's in that. Is any of her kids in that?
She's in Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Leslie Mann?
Isn't she the wife?
Whose wife?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd doesn't have a wife. He's got a romantic thing with Evangeline Lilly.
No, no, his ex-wife. Isn't that Leslie Mann?
I don't recall. I haven't seen Ant-Man in a while.
I think it was Judy Greer.
Judy Greer sounds right.
Yeah, that could be it.
That sounds more
she
right.
She looks like Leslie Mann. No, she doesn't.
No.
No, not really.
Why am I thinking of her?
We also brought up that when Tony was on his hike that he kind of confused the Greek myths of Icarus and Sisyphus, which we brought up because Sisyphus is the one that rolled the boulder up the hill and kept rolling it up the hill, and Icarus was the one that flew too close to the sun and died. So that's a fun story.
There you go.
I like that was just, we already talked about this.
Yeah. While filming the scene where the kids are having the party, aka the orgy, after locking up Tony Perkins and restoring the camp, Aaron Schwartz, who played Jerry, injured his arm.
Oh.
His cast had to be hidden in scenes featuring him.
I'd like to point out that they locked up Tony Perkins.
But they wrote Tony Perkins.
Tony Perkins had nothing to do with this film.
On the Blu-ray commentary, Judd Apatow states that once he ran to Paul Thomas Anderson, and he told Judd that he loves heavyweights.
This is like a word of mouth story.
Now, what I wonder with that is if it's one of those things where Paul Thomas Anderson actually loves heavyweights, or if it was just one of those like, oh shit, it's this guy. What has he done?
Right.
Is he involved in heavyweight? Oh,
like,
yeah, I love heavyweights.
Like, I can imagine the scenario where Apatow comes up and he's like, hey, I love There Will Be Blood, and he's like,
I like the that Fat Camp movie you were involved in.
You mean Heavyweights?
Yeah, yeah, one of my favorites.
Oh, see, it's on record.
The DVD.
That's how it went down. There's a scene where Tony takes a bow and arrow and aims for the kids and Jerry's dad, but Disney cut the scene. So apparently, Tony tried to murder Jeffrey Tambor. Another fun fact, when the kids are getting off the Camp Hope bus when first visiting, you can see the maximum capacity of the camp is 25. The 25 is scratched over, and a 23 is written above it.
Is that for the camp or for the bus?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, because I didn't even see that. This is just a...
But what happens
it seems
if
like
there's...
every child that's at the camp is on that bus.
Is
that,
also the
well, except
size
for
of...
Sims, who's just shaking his head.
They're also the size of two kids each, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's the joke. You get it.
Oh, I get it. French class.
French class. All right, so that's all for the fun facts. Weren't those fun?
Just like your transitions.
Yes. One of the things we usually do on our mini episodes is we connect the previous reviews that we did with the current one. Now, the last one we did was the Corey Haim, Corey Feldman movie, License to Drive.
Yep. We found the one, number one, was Pauly Shore is Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Stiller and Corey Feldman.
Well, you found that, yeah.
Yeah.
And you just and we took said, the wind out of my sails. Because now my longer ones are not as fun.
Well, Mark, give us your longer ones.
Are you sure?
No, no,
Brian?
But like,
do you really want it?
Because I have two direct connections as well.
Oh, Brian.
These might not be direct, but they're fun. The sister in License to Drive was the actress Nina Simesco, and she was in the movie Airheads with Adam Sandler. Now, Adam Sandler was in Happy Gilmore with Ben Stiller. So that was a two-step. And then another fun one was that Richard Mazar, who played Les Anderson's dad, he was in, which I just watched the other day. I love this movie. He's in Risky Business with Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise is in Tropic Thunder with Ben Stiller.
Oh.
So there you go. You know, they were supposed to, I don't know if this is still coming out, but they were supposed to do an adult Hardy Boys movie with Tom Cruise and Ben Stiller playing the Hardy Boys brothers.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. It was supposed to be like, you know, like a 21 Jump Street or that Chips movie that's coming out. A bit of like a parody, joking style.
I used to read those books, but like, don't ask me to remember any part of them.
Yeah, there's just mystery. The only thing I know from the Hardy Boys is in Goonies when they go, I saw this on the Hardy Boys once. Let's do a trail down here, and then we'll go through the other trail.
Yes.
That's really my Hardy Boys reference. All right, so Rick threw out a definitive, but you got a couple as well,
I got
Brian.
A couple as well. First, I have Heather Graham.
Yes, Heather Graham, Mercedes.
And, she was in The Hangover with Jeffrey Tambor.
Jeffrey Tambor?
Yeah, he played Zach Galifianakis' dad.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Does she show up in the second one?
No, she's just in the first one.
Okay, just the first one.
And then also using Heather Graham, and this will actually simplify one of your connections there. Heather Graham was in Anger Management.
With Alan Cover, right.
Who was also in Airheads.
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah, well, of course.
So there you go.
He's with Adam Sandler. There we go. We've done it, gents.
Hooray!
Well done.
Okay.
Well, I was going to get into something, but I believe, Brian, you wanted to jump into one of our games this week.
Yeah,
because
I have a new game.
I'm looking forward to this game.
I have a new game. It's a
new game.
A brand new invention.
Oh.
So we're not doing movie reviews this week.
Oh.
One of the things that I like...
Because Rick's been losing too much.
No. You
didn't need to turn into Alf there.
Yeah, when it's the when
Rick's
it's the
been losing too much.
When it's the guess the stars, I win. When it's the guess what movie this is, I lose.
Yes.
Well, what we're doing for this is it's based on the IMDb keywords.
Oh.
So IMDb sometimes has some interesting keywords to describe their movies. Sometimes they're obvious. For heavyweights, for example, fat camp, overweight child, actor playing multiple roles. Sometimes they're a little more obscure, like medium format camera, husband-wife relationship, Hendersonville, North Carolina. So
husband-wife relationship? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, there is a husband and a wife in the movie.
That's true.
So they're counting that.
Very small parts.
So what I decided to do is I'm going to go off one of the main keywords from Heavyweights, summer camp, and I have five different movies and five keywords for each movie.
These are all camp movies.
These all relate to the keyword summer camp.
Okay.
So the way it's going to work, I'm going to give you have five total keywords for each movie. If you get it on the first keyword, you'll get 5 points. Second keyword, 4 points. Third, 3, 4th, 2, 5th, 1 point. You can only guess once.
Okay, yeah. That's
per movie.
That's what I was going to ask.
So the first one I have for 5 points, singing. And you can chime in by just saying your name. For 4 points, divorced parents. For 3 points, tween girl.
Anything, Rick?
For 2 points.
No, nothing.
Same actor playing two characters simultaneously on screen.
Oh, Mark.
Yes.
The Parent Trap.
Correct.
Yay.
Mark gets 2 points.
Singing? Let's get together. Yeah.
And the final clue was going to be impersonating one's identical twin sister.
Yay.
I still wouldn't have got it.
All right. Next one for 5 points. Reference to Godspell the Stage Musical.
Nice.
For 4 points, year 1981. That does not necessarily mean the movie is from the year 1981.
Hmm.
For 3 points, Hopkins Prize for Physics.
Oh.
What?
That sounds familiar.
For 2 points, humping a refrigerator. And finally, for 1 point, talking can of vegetables.
Mark.
Yes.
Wet Hot American Summer.
That is correct.
Yes.
All right. So Mark is in the lead with 3 points.
They do put on Godspell. I remember them singing day by day.
Okay, Rick, this is your chance to make a comeback.
Okay.
For 5 points, woman taking off pants.
Oh.
For 4 points, number in title. For 3 points, this one goes out to John Eldridge. Score employs electronic instruments.
Mark.
Yes.
Friday the 13th.
That is correct. The 2 points was going to be villain, not really dead cliche, and 1 point was Jason Voorhees.
I would have got it there.
Yes, yeah, that's true. My thought process there was the electronic music. I was thinking Halloween, like a John Carpenter score, but I was like, camp, nakedness, Friday the 13th.
There you go. All right, our fourth movie. For 5 points, we have Baby Boy. For 4 points, we have Indian Costume.
Oh.
For 3 points, we have sequel to remake.
Oh.
For 2 points, based on comic.
I'm going to go with it. Mark.
Yep.
Adam's Family Values.
That is correct.
Ha ha!
And for 1 point, it was going to be Disembodied Hand.
Oh.
I would have probably said Adam's Family, but that'd be it.
All right. So the final one for today. For 5 points, Teenage Girl in Swimwear.
Ooh.
Teenage girl. Wait, I have to think about this one because I need 5 points, right?
You need more than 5 points.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way you can win.
We might be able to make this a cumulative total as we keep going forward.
Rick.
Okay.
Meatballs.
It is.
Wow.
Wow.
Well done, sir.
So didn't we tie?
No.
No, Mark ended up with a total of
six.
8 points.
Eight.
And Rick ends up with 5.
Oh. You got one by the end.
So for Meatballs, we also had glad to see me joke, hot dog eating contest, underwear on flagpole, and food in title.
Yay.
So that is the IMDb keyword game.
That was fun.
Did you like that, Rick?
Not really. I like the guess the number, guess the rating. Because
it's random. You got nothing to base it off of.
I know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brian. I enjoyed that and would like to see it again. All right. So based upon that, so your game there, like you said, a lot of them were based upon summer camp movies is kind of the keyword. So I found a list. I thought it'd be interesting to find the top summer camp movies to see if we've seen them. Now, from Vulture.com, I found 15 classic summer camp movies ranked from worst to best. So let's take a look at these as we go through.
Okay. I'm ready. I probably haven't seen, like, any of them.
Well, we'll see. Coming in at number 15, Ernest Goes to Camp.
Oh. I don't remember that one.
Well, you've brought that up. I mean, we've covered on this podcast. Ernest Scared Stupid. Ernest Saves Christmas.
I must have seen it, though.
You probably did. It's the one where they sing to the turtle because it snapped on his nose. Brian, did you see this? Ernest Goes to Camp?
Nope.
Well, I've definitely seen this. The one that kicked off all those classic Ernest movies. The next one, number 14, Indian Summer from 1993.
Ooh, I've never even heard of it.
Now, I've seen parts of this movie. This is basically about a camp that's closing and all the, some of like the favorite campers come back when they're much older. It was basically like The Big Chill at summer camp. And it featured Elizabeth Perkins, Diane Lane, Bill Paxton, Alan Arkin was Uncle Lou, the counselor. Anyone see this one?
I didn't see it, but I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
I was like 10.
I've seen parts of it.
Nope. Never seen
Kevin
it.
Kevin Pollak's in it. Number 13 from 1986, Space Camp. Anyone ever see Space Camp?
Nope.
No?
What is Space Camp?
It's about these kids. It has Kate Capshaw and a young Leaf Phoenix in it, a.k.a. Joaquin Phoenix.
I remember wanting to go to Space Camp because everyone would win it as a prize on, like, Double Dare.
Yeah, they're training at Space Camp. Something goes wrong at the end. There's this little robot that keeps saying weird things. I saw this when I was a kid. I recall this.
What kind of weird thing?
Maybe I'm thinking more Buck Rogers, but I want to say like beady 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 beady.
I thought you were gonna say it was saying like Bush didn't.
There's like no robot in this movie.
There is a robot. I swear. Coming at number 12, Camp Nowhere, 1994. Now, Rick, you brought this up on The Full Reviews. This is the movie where the kids take over, and Christopher Lloyd is that like substitute drama teacher who just is basically the name on the paper. But he doesn't do anything except at some point they have like an Olympics thing because they're bored or something like that. He gets involved at some point.
Yeah, he gets involved. Well, he gets paid to be the whatever the leader.
This was basically the original movie of almost like a heavyweights dodgeball scenario. They made the exact same movie like Camp Nowhere when they made that movie Accepted with Justin Long
and
when
Jessica,
he made his
Jessica
own college.
Jessica Alba, that was like one of her first movies.
Which one?
Camp Nowhere.
Jessica Alba?
Yeah.
I don't think she's in this movie.
I know for a fact she
is. Oh, okay.
She played Gail.
Gail. There you go. Brian, did you see Camp Nowhere?
I did not, but okay. One of the keywords is donut.
Donut. Number 11 from the game we just spoke of, Friday the 13th, 1980. 6 degrees here. This was a young Kevin Bacon gets killed in this movie.
6 degrees. It's like 1 degree.
1 degree of himself.
Yes. Connects Kevin Bacon to Kevin Bacon.
Did you ever see the original Friday the 13th?
Probably. I don't remember it too much.
Brian?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm not.
There was a time
I'm
when like they would play
fan.
Marathons of these on USA. And, and obviously like sleepovers and stuff. Horror movies was a thing to watch.
Because
there's lots of sexing going on.
Oh. I never got into horror movies.
No?
They've never been my genre. Yeah.
No.
They're not your cup of murderous tea.
Ooh,
number 10, coming at number 10 from 1999, But I'm a Cheerleader. Now, I've heard of this movie, but I've never seen it. It's about Natasha Lyonne plays a cheerleader that's a lesbian, and her parents send her to a camp that's supposed to dissuade her from liking girls.
What movie is this again?
It's called But I'm a Cheerleader. I never saw this, but I remember playing HBO sometimes.
This is another one that has a husband-wife relationship.
Yes, her parents, maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know. Coming in at number 10, Heavyweights.
Yay.
You guys seen this one?
I've never seen it.
Moving on. Number 8, Adam's Family Values. You brought that up.
You did.
I mean, I remember this movie, but I don't, like,
I don't remember watching
any
the whole
part
thing.
Of it.
I remember most of this movie, I'd say. The camp scenes were particularly funny because Christine Baranski and Peter McNichol were like the super cheery camp counselors, and they really couldn't deal with Wednesday and Pugsley, a.k.a. Salami Sam per Rick.
Yeah, but, he looks the same. Come on.
And a young, she kind of gets in a relationship.
Christina Ricci?
At the camp, yeah, with a young David Krumholtz.
Oh,
this was kind of like the first time. The guy is in that Numbers show.
He was in Life with Mikey.
He was in Harold and Kumar.
Does he do a voice on Futurama?
I don't know.
Then I don't know him.
Okay. Number 7, the original Meatballs from 1979.
It's a funny movie. I don't know why they...
What are they on now?
Like Meatballs, like 34?
There's at least 4.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman was in the 4th one. It was just a softcore porn by that point.
Well, on that note, though, Meatballs was one of the more interesting ones to look at the keywords because, I mean, there's no real nudity in the movie, but all of the keywords are like braless teen.
Yes.
Girl in panties.
I mean, yeah. I don't remember it. I just remember it being kind of raunchy but humorous.
Did you ever see Meatballs 2? It's the one where the alien comes.
New class?
There's an alien that comes down to the camp and the kids hide him and they name him Meathead.
No.
You never saw this movie?
No.
It's all about boxing. You've never heard of this?
Are you sure you watched Meatballs 2?
Were you watching Mac and Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, the wheelchair just went right off the cliff.
Oh.
Number 6, you brought up again, The Parent Trap. So they list both
which
the
one?
1961 and 1998 version.
Whoa.
That was 98?
Yeah, young Lindsay Lohan.
Wow.
Playing twins.
That was a long time
ago. I never actually saw that one.
I mean, that was 18 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that movie can smoke now.
Or drive a car drunk.
What?
Like Lindsay Lohan.
Oh. You and your transitions.
Coming at number 5, Wet Hot American Summer, 2001. Yeah. Now, Rick, please tell me you've seen this movie.
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
That's sad.
It's a very good one.
It's very funny.
Well,
you enjoy
who's
it.
Who's in it?
All the people from The State. David
Amy
Hyde
Poehler,
Pierce,
Bradley Cooper,
Janine Garofalo, Elizabeth Banks, Christopher Maloney. It's on Netflix. You should watch it.
Talking Can of Vegetables.
Yep, voiced by H. John Benjamin, Archer.
What? Really?
It's
Bob.
You definitely need to see this one.
Gotta see it.
And they now have a prequel series on Netflix as well.
And the 10 years after one's coming out soon.
What?
Coming in at number 4, a movie from 2003 called Camp.
I've seen this one.
You've seen this?
Yeah.
Young Anna Kendrick.
Yep.
What?
No, is this like about a theater camp or something?
Yeah, it's based on like the Stage Door Manor theater camp.
Now, is this the movie? Maybe I caught a piece of this. Tell me if this scene happens in it. They're doing like a version of Waiting for Godot where the three of them are in trash cans and...
Well, the trash can play is Endgame.
Oh, okay. Riker, doesn't he play one of the dads? Is this the same movie I'm thinking of?
I don't think so.
Okay, I saw something else.
What?
Then. Yeah.
Riker? Commander Riker?
Commander
this
Riker.
One, the scene that you might have seen from this one out of context, like, they do a lot of performances of musical numbers, but then Anna Kendrick comes in singing Ladies Who Lunch from Company.
Does she come in with cups?
No, she doesn't come in with cups. Well, she is holding a glass. But...
Oh, see? Touche.
And Stephen Sondheim shows up as well in the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that. Coming at number 3, Little Darlings. Oh, this is from 1980. So this was the kind of like the teenage stars at the time, the Christy McNichols, the Tatum O'Neills. It's about these girls that make a bet who can lose their virginity first. And there's a young Matt Dillon and Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City. Yeah.
Never heard of it.
So, yeah, I saw this. This was on HBO. Coming at number 2, Moonrise Kingdom. This is my least favorite Wes Anderson movie.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
It's in my queue somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't like this one. I love Wes Anderson's stuff, but this movie just was not very fun to me. So, we'll skip right past that. To number 1.
Go on.
Troop Beverly Hills.
What?
I'm not sure that's a camp movie, but It is a fun. That's been playing on HBO a lot. And
really?
Yeah. Shelley Long, Craig T. Nelson plays the ex-husband. The funniest thing is all the kids that play.
He plays Mr. Incredible.
All they have all the daughters that are in the troupe, like all these like actresses that Carla Gugino. She's one of the kids.
Who else is in Troop Beverly Hills? Mary Gross,
that character actress that was on Saturday Night Live.
Hey, I was going to surprise you, but I need to say it right now. Jonathan Frakes was in Camp Nowhere.
He was?
He was an uncredited role.
Oh, awesome. It all comes around. Kelly Martin from like Life Goes On, she was one of the kids. Heather Hopper, that was in Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Oh.
Do you recall her? And Jenny Lewis from, who's the musician. She's a famous musician right now.
Yeah.
So there you go. Tori Spelling, too.
Oh, wow. That I am not going to go check it out
there
now.
There you go. So True Beverly Hills, number one.
Well, how's
so
that
I've
number
seen
one?
Most of these movies.
How is it number one, though?
It seems like camp is not your genre.
No, I have not seen like any of these movies.
Well, maybe you can go back and look at them now.
I should probably go to camp.
Camp Bonawana.
Yeah, exactly. Can we just have a camp that we play?
I almost
like,
included Salute Your Shorts in the keyword
oh,
game.
Oh, you could have thrown
but
us off.
Their keywords were like kid with glasses, bully, rich kid.
Those aren't good. No Bobby Budnick?
Nope.
No ugly Donkey Lips Sponge. All right, well, I think that kind of covers those camp movies. Now, gentlemen, there were a couple questions that we had from the Full Reviews It that I am calling upon you to see if we could find some answers. Brian, you started to get into this a little bit during the full episode as to the camp location where this was filmed. Now, I had brought up that this looked like a very standard camp exterior that perhaps they use for other movie and TVs, but I don't know if we were able to find much weight to that at all.
It was filmed at Camp Pinnacle and Camp Tonawanda, both in Hendersonville.
Okay.
And now you can go there and have adult camp, which is, I think you just probably drink a lot, and then jump on the blob.
Jump on the blob, naked.
And then, what?
Maybe, I don't know.
No.
No, that's for when you're in the canoe.
Oh, true. But it doesn't mention if they used this set for anything else at all?
From what I can see, it was not used as a filming location for any other movies.
Consider it confirmed.
What?
That's my stamp of approval.
But the Griffith Park Boys Camp was used for Salute Your Shorts and American Pie 2.
Where's that one? Is that
Los
nearby?
Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And Camp Pocono Trails in the Poconos was used for the Bunny Man, Hood Boogas, the movie, Song of the Shattered, and MTV News presents Fat Camp.
I'm not sure what Boognoogas is. That sounds interesting.
Camp Howdy in Vancouver, British Columbia was used for Twilight, Rambo First Blood, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, and George Lopez.
Wait a minute. Oh,
George Lopez? Like his show?
Just him.
He just
showed
up.
He's just like, this is my camp now.
Camp Daniel Morgan in Rutledge, Georgia was used for Little Darlings, Poison Ivy, and Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives.
I remember Poison Ivy. That was a Michael J. Fox camp movie. That's interesting.
Wait, wasn't that also a movie, Poison Ivy?
That's a different one. That's the sexy one.
Yeah.
With Drew Barrymore.
Wait, she was in that one?
Yeah.
I thought it was Batgirl.
Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah.
That's The Crush. You're thinking. Getting your movies confused.
I'm getting so many things confused.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I think we want to kind of delve into where some of these actors ended up in our segment of Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Well, the first person I want to start off with, we had kind of delved into a little bit, but I found some additional information upon further research. This was the girl that played Angelic Girl.
Yes, and we got into that she is now a like Playboy model.
She's not only is she a Playboy model, she's married to the actor Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yeah.
Oh,
and has
young
two
Indiana Jones.
Young Indiana Jones and from the Boondock Saint movies.
Yes, Lauren Hill.
Lauren Hill, not the singer.
No, not the singer. Well, she's only been in 5 acting credits.
Right.
So
all Playboy.
Well, no. She started off in Made in Heaven. She played young Ally. Young Ally. Heavyweights. She played the angelic girl. She played 1 episode of Baywatch. Sex and Death 101. And
that sounds familiar.
It's a movie with
The Mentalist.
Yeah,
Simon Baker.
And then also in that is Patton Oswalt.
I saw the cover of this somewhere.
Mindy Cohn
from Facts of Life.
Yeah, Winona Ryder. Isn't
wow.
that? Julie Bowen.
It's a pretty good cast.
Neil Flynn. Wow.
The janitor.
And then her final credit was she played Coffee Bean Girl in Entourage as herself. Was her Playboy stuff. So Playboy. Right. Video Playmate Calendar, Playboy Primetime Playmates, Fear Factor, she was 3 episodes, Playboy Hef's Halloween Spooktacular, Meet the Barkers.
that's just Hef comes up behind you. There you go.
America's Next Producer as herself, The House Bunny as herself, The Girls Next Door
as herself,
and Get Out
as herself.
There's a TV series in 2008.
I like how there's a special called Primetime Bunnies, because I just want to see the companion one called, like, Early Morning Bunnies.
Yeah.
Give me my coffee.
That's all she's done.
Okay.
I mean, we could get into her husband, but...
No, that's okay.
He does a lot of
things.
Well,
let's continue on the kids, the campers. So how about any of the kids that we don't know where they've ended up? You know, not like a Kenan Thompson who played Roy, but if we want to look up Salami Sam, British Nicholas, any of those kids?
Yes. The problem with those kids is that specifically the 2 that you just mentioned,
yes,
they have 1 credit each and it's Heavyweights.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a quick...
You could do... So, Jerry.
Jerry, yeah. Because he did, well, like we said, he was in Mighty Ducks, he was in this, but then what after?
So, Aaron Schwartz. He's an amazing actor with 20 credits.
Okay.
However, he will be starring in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Wow.
As young Ego.
Oh, okay.
Which makes him a young Kurt Russell.
Wait a minute. Okay. Maybe.
Kind of. And then he's been in a ton of short films.
I was going to say, Kurt Russell did, as a kid, grow up as a Disney actor.
He did.
There's a kind of correlation.
He was in Gossip Girl.
Oh, okay.
15 episodes. So
that's a pretty good part.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
Shorts, 1.
He played Handsome Man in The Originals.
Oh, that's that vampire show.
Yeah, that's about it. He didn't really do too much.
Okay.
But he did lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So the Parker system worked for him.
So, yeah, it worked. And if you lose a lot of weight, you get to be a young Kurt Russell. That's your reward. There you go. How about little Rick's double there? Philip Rubinoff.
Max Goldblatt. He is now an editor in Hollywood.
Good for you, Rick.
Yeah, no. All right, so his acting credits, his last credit came in 2013 short. He was the interviewer, the voice in Becoming Foss. I don't know.
Oh.
He starred in an episode of Portlandia.
Oh, cool.
Death to the Tin Man, another short.
Oh, poor Tin Man.
All shorts. He was an impersonator in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Oh, he's an Elvis impersonator. That's cool.
My Giant.
With George Murison and Billy Crystal?
Yes.
That's a weird movie.
Sticks and Stones. Oh, my God. Is that Busey?
With Busey?
I think it's Busey.
Sticks and Stones may break my bones, but I'll break yours.
He played Book in that movie.
He played a book?
Yeah, and... Oh, and Gary Busey was Book's dad.
Oh!
Kirstie Alley was Joey's mom. Mark Paul Gosselaar was Dale.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is quite the movie.
Yeah. Michael Shamus Wiles was Hayes' dad.
Okay, I think we're done with this.
That's their acting credits, though.
Excellent. Okay.
So that was
Max Goldblatt, a.k.a. Little Ricky.
He was in Bushwhack, too.
And he shoehorns that laugh. That was probably the most important one. And then we had, let's see,
Jeffrey Tambor.
No, not Jeffrey Tambor. How about Cody Berger?
Oh, okay. So Cody Berger.
Yes.
His most recent credit is Heavyweights.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he started his amazing acting career 6 years prior in a little movie called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah. He was one of Randy Quaid's kids, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the same kid.
And then he was in Anything But Love, one episode.
Okay.
Home Improvement, he played Cub Scout number 3. Doll Man?
Doll Man?
1991.
Tim Thomerson?
Oh, God. You got to be kidding me if you know this.
Well,
yep. And Jackie Earle Haley.
Jackie Earle Haley, too?
Yeah. Nice. And then he was a boy at Picnic in Forever Young. And then in the movie Pet Shop, he played Nicky.
Pet Shop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who's cool. starting that one, smart guy?
Yeah.
In Pet Shop?
Yeah.
Austin O'Brien.
No.
I have to check the entire list.
If he's not the main kid, then no.
No.
Then I'm not familiar.
Terry Kaiser?
Who plays Bernie in Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh, Bernie!
I knew he looked familiar. Nice. I was like, who is this guy?
And I would like to point out, still alive.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ironic.
Well, why don't they do Weekend at Bernie's?
Three.
The other guys aren't doing
Jonathan
anything.
Silverman and Andrew McCarthy. Actually, Andrew McCarthy is quite the director. He directs a lot of things.
Well, what's Jonathan Silverman doing?
He's still a single guy.
Aww.
Aww.
All right, so that covers the kid. Who else we would kind of want? A couple other things I realized. There were a couple of the counselors that we just couldn't put our fingers on. And Nurse Julie, I recognize for her. She was on that Pamela Anderson TV show, VIP.
Yes.
That's where I knew her from.
And then we got into it a little bit in the full reviews, how she's now a realtor.
Yes.
She's no longer acting in Hollywood. She is now a realtor.
What's her name?
Leah Lale.
Now, what did she do before she kind of retired after Heavyweights, or maybe before?
Most recent credit was Annie Spotnick on Boston Legal in one episode.
Okay, that's pretty recent.
She did quite a bit of TV work in addition to VIP. She was on a couple episodes of Touched by an Angel and Diagnosis Murder. She was in Little Nicky. Quite a few people from this movie were in Late Last Night.
What's that?
Emilio Estevez and Steven Weber, but it was directed and written by Steven Brill.
Oh, okay,
so
that makes sense.
He brought a lot of his players over to
the Steven Brill players, everyone.
Was including that, like, Alan Covert.
Did that go direct to DVD or something? I don't remember this movie.
It came out in 1999 and appears to be a TV movie.
Oh.
But it's rated R for extensive drug-related content and for sexuality and language.
I have to mention
that must have been HBO or something. Like,
yeah, maybe. But I have to mention that Lars played passenger cop in that same movie.
Yeah.
So they just keep bringing over the favorites.
She was also in D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, okay.
She was Terry at Party. So maybe she's what happened to Terry from the first Mighty Ducks movie. He became the nurse from Heavyweights.
There you go. While we're on the subject, so another guy, Tom Hodges, who is the guy that played Lars. Now, again, I was like, what
Lars?
Do I know him from? He was Jason Bateman's friend on The Hogan Family.
Oh.
Did you ever watch The Hogan Family?
The name's familiar, but no,
that's where Jason Bateman got his start, when he was like the teen heartthrob, like a Kirk Cameron, Michael J. Fox, and then kind of dropped off the map and then has had a major successful comeback since then, you know, as an actor, but
yes.
But when he was a teenager, he was on The Hogan Family.
That's crazy.
AKA Valerie's Family, because it changed. And then they brought on Sandy Duncan.
Not Hulk Hogan.
She
family.
Has a glass eye.
That was Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah.
Did you know Lars was in Steel Magnolias as well?
Really?
And Critters 2.
Oh, I could see that more.
And Going Overboard with Adam Sandler.
Oh, that movie's horrible.
I've never seen it.
It's like filmed
it's
on like
his first movie, right?
Yeah, it's like filmed on like someone's like, if you could find the crappiest camera around and just walk around and film a movie, this is what this is.
Actually, I don't think we could do that now because most of our phones record
it. Yeah, better quality, yeah. So unless you guys can think of anyone else, why don't we just kind of top it off with the actor that played Pat Finley?
Tom McGowan,
because as I said, mainly I remember him from this movie and as the annoying reporter from The Birdcage that's trying to track down Gene Hackman.
I saw him fairly recently last year. They did the streaming version of She Loves Me from Broadway.
Oh, okay.
He was Tsipos in that.
Oh, he's in that. Yeah. Okay.
He's also been on Veep and Modern Family, Hot in Cleveland, Desperate Housewives, CSI, Greek, Brothers and Sisters. He's done a lot of TV stuff. Hannah Montana, Boston Legal. He keeps active. He has 58 acting credits.
Nice.
He's on Everybody Loves Raymond for 17 episodes as Bernie.
Hey, Bernie, come meet my family.
Frasier for 42 episodes as Kenny Daly.
42 episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
One episode of Oliver Bean. He was in Bad Santa.
That show.
An episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Two episodes of
Ghost
ER.
World?
That's that movie with Thora Birch and ScarJo, where it was based on the graphic novel. They meet Steve Buscemi.
It's not the one with Forrest Whitaker, right?
No, that's Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. I see where you got those confused, though, Rick.
He was also in As Good as It Gets. He played the maitre d'.
Oh, okay.
I think he was the one that told Jack Nicholson he needed to get a jacket.
What a memorable role.
He was in Sleepless in Seattle. And
is that his
Searching
actual
for
title?
Bobby Fischer. He was in
Man
Captain
Who
Ron.
Asked for a Jacket.
What was that last one?
Captain Ron.
That was his
oh,
first
Captain
credit.
Ron with Kurt Russell.
He played Bill.
Oh, so they should make young Captain Ron with Aaron Schwartz.
Oh.
A prequel. A Captain Ron prequel.
Okay. No.
First matey Ron.
His first mate. Oh, he's got to work his way up. Well, I think that kind of wraps up this section of where have these actors gone? Any kind of parting thoughts? Oh, Brian, we mentioned this kind of at the top of the year, but just to give the Cinemaniacs a quick update, I know both you and I are doing the movie challenge.
Yes.
I'm doing it again because, like I said, I never stop watching movies, so might as well just keep track of them. How's your progress been so far?
So as of today, as we're recording this, it's January 31st. I am at 48 movies.
Nice. I'm at 45.
Oh.
So we're ahead of the game.
Yes.
I'm on, I think, round like 17 of Futurama.
Yeah. I guess I commend you, sir, but I do enjoy watching things I've never seen before.
You know, well, because it's like I am so busy. It's like I throw it on in the background.
Right, because you know
if
it.
I don't,
you know
if
it
I
by
don't,
heart.
Yeah, and so like if I watch something new, I just sit there and I watch it, which is a problem because I need to do other things, so I just normally put on Futurama.
Right.
It's so much easier.
Well, any kind of closing words for you, Rick?
No, I mean, I enjoyed it yet again. You know, it's funny because some of these movies, I have no full enjoyment. I don't watch the full movie because I don't really enjoy it. But this one, I watched the whole movie.
And that is
it
an accomplishment.
It's my seal of approval. You can watch this movie. You will enjoy it.
It's Rick's art seal of approval.
Please insert like a Wilhelm scream there or something.
What?
I don't know. What the hell was that?
That was the Wilhelm scream.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Hey, Salami Sam, what else you got up there your back?
Cheetos.
Cheetos? Oh, that's cool. And how about you, British Philip? What's that strapped across your shirt?
A full ham.
Oh, my. You Brits are crazy. I think I'm going to have fun in this bunk this year. This is going to be the best damn summer of my life.
We're going to eat you, new kid.
Oh, no!
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie review zip. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. You can download all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Oh, wow, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, like this month's February workshop, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby. That's it for now, happy campers.